Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Patrick Monahan is not here.
He's on a expedition. He has taken on the role as Willie's manager.
Yeah.
He is Willie's stage parent now.
He's on one of those famous cruise slash expeditions. So they're going to the South Pole, but there are margaritas on the boat.
I feel like a cruise is a form of expedition. I feel like that counts. Yeah.
It's an expedition into fun. There's a tagline for Carnival. Princess, what are the other cruise names? I don't know.
They're all out of business, right? Or should be, probably.
Oh, they should be, but they're not. I think they opened quicker than you'd think, and then immediately, I remember there were a bunch of news stories where they were like, yes, it happened. This cruise ship is full of people with COVID. They dock in 2 weeks, and yeah.
Well, that's what Patty's doing right now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And instead of Patty, we have a lovely guest today who has a one-woman show at Friends and Lovers on July 21st at 8 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, Shalewa Sharp is here. Hello.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I would like to go on record as saying that I went on a cruise this spring.
Oh, yeah? Right. I saw you talk about this on stage recently.
I know. Yeah. Ended up just fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, they hired me. I was
okay.
Tell jokes. Otherwise, I would have been like, why would I get on this death trap of a boat?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to swim. But it was a good time, and everyone tested, I don't know, four times between the ride from the hotel and the gangplank or whatever they call it. And I mean, but I am here to tell you that cruises are back and better than ever. I feel safe to say. And those boats are huge. This wasn't even that big of a boat, but those boats are huge.
They simply have to be for all the shuffleboard and
that's true.
Full
that's
kitchen.
That is a lot of real estate.
And I would assume, of course, that they all went well because you're a very funny comedian. But, like, did you have any, like, underwhelming shows? I mean, I'm actually fascinated by, like, cruise comedy. Because this is a thing. If people don't do stand-up, it's one of those things. It's like doing colleges where it's, like, a really one of the, like, more reliable sources of income if you can get it. Mm-hmm. Is it just kind of cycling through the people on the cruise where you're... Because I imagine it's the same people, and it's not like they go to the same to see you every night.
I was extremely lucky in that this cruise is like a chartered cruise, so that this fellow named Jonathan Colton has called the Joco Cruise. So the people who got on this boat knew what they were in for.
It's comedy-centric.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a bit. Well, it's nerd-centric. I will say. I ended up being the only comedian because everyone else has jobs and stuff. And I was just like, yeah, I can do this. But, you know, there were also like people who have podcasts would do an episode of their podcast on the boat. And a lot of other nerd based things that I did not see because I was mostly in my room watching they're terrible television shows.
It was a nerd cruise. It was all anime. That's all you just watched. All of Dragon Ball Z was on there.
Oh, that would have been interesting. What it ended up being was there was a channel that showed nothing but all of the hour-long dramas on CBS that we've been ignoring.
Ooh, that is my kind of thing.
Get in touch with the real America on this cruise.
Oh, wow.
Criminal Minds, Little Mentalists.
All of it, one after the other, no rhyme or reason, in the middle of a season, no explanation.
Beautiful. It wasn't even on demand. It was like
old school. just like, here you go, here. And then they throw in a random
raw cable.
Sitcom. It was just all of USA and TNT just throwing all of their selections at you. I didn't know that there was a show that was just called FBI.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, they just do that now.
Yeah, just letters. So anything that was just a bunch of letters. And then, you know, an episode of Blue Bloods. And then they throw in, like, here's a Family Guy for you. So
take lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah, go grab some food. Bring it on back. Because next is The Practice. And I'm like, when was The Practice? Yeah. It hasn't been on like 25 years. What are you talking? Yo, man. My sister and I were captivated.
Let it be known, cruise bookers, I work remotely and I know a bunch of nerd shit. Unfortunately, I do have thalassophobia, a fear of open water, but I can get over that.
Oh, you absolutely can. I can't
I think
swim
it's big enough.
A lick. Yeah. And if you just stay in your room, you're good.
Yeah,
I always stood in the very middle of the boat.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just the epicenter. Yeah. I've heard also that that's like a big misconception some people have about cruises is that they're like, oh, you might be able to. And it's like the people, because it's a huge boat, you don't realize how fast it's moving. Mm-hmm. And like if you were to go in the water, the cruise ship would be out of sight in like just another fear for anybody that's thinking about getting on.
I feel like that's less scary to me because like I feel like if you go in the water off a cruise, then you're immediately run over by the cruise by the boat.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
quick at least.
Yeah. I feel like you want to jump pretty far.
Yeah.
Pretty far.
Yeah.
My question about cruise audiences, and maybe because it was a Jonathan Colton cruise with people doing podcasts, maybe people were better behaved. But to me, it just seems like it's kind of the same thing as like a casino or something where it's like no one here has to drive. So everyone is getting hammered, which is like
my understanding on your garden variety cruises is that, well, first you have to have like a clean set and then a late night set and then just a middle of the road set. And it doesn't matter because all audiences will hate all sets.
Yeah. I saw there is a tweet from and I'm fine. So it was a tweet. You know, Graham K.
Yes.
Very funny comedian. He tweeted out recently, he got fired from a cruise because he was doing like, it was like fairly tame political material. I think he was taught, his brother is autistic and he was talking about it on stage and they were like, you can't talk about that.
That's too sensitive or
yeah,
like.
Yeah. And he was like, my brother is autistic. I don't remember if that was specific. It was some family member or something.
I did see that.
It's jokes
it
about family.
Like
what's more like G-rated and like whole, it's about my family.
No, see, a cruise is where you go with your family to try and forget your family.
Yeah.
You're fired.
So what, do they make him?
You drop off one kid at one pool, one kid at another.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, they drop you off and you have a suitcase because you're a normal traveler, but something about getting fired and dropped off from a cruise immediately makes me imagine you get dropped off in a port from the early 1900s. Like, I just imagine, I don't know why, I just imagine them getting dropped at Ellis Island.
They make you walk the plank. They make you walk the plank. They just throw you overboard. You get a burial at sea.
They give you one of those flat caps and they drop you at Ellis Island at the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, you're the only person there with wheels on your luggage.
They take away your citizenship. You have to re-enter the unit for bombing on a cruise. I don't think even bomb. I don't mean, like you said, audience is not.
They're like, good luck becoming a kingpin at this port of call. That is the only path for you.
Honestly, I would rather if I did poorly, you kick me off the boat than me try to get some extra dinner rolls and have someone come up to me and go, oh, you're the comic, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's
like,
what I imagine.
That's the absolute, like, I obviously, like, bombing is not fun. I don't enjoy it. But I think the most mortifying part of it is, like, seeing the people who didn't enjoy you afterward.
Yeah.
Like,
and you have
bombing
to
on stage
go.
Sucks, but it's, like, maybe it can sometimes be helpful. Like, sometimes you can kind of learn something from it or, like, whatever. And also, it's just, like, oh, this is, like, part of the job. But then when you have to, like, make eye contact with people who, like, vocally didn't like what you did.
Yeah.
And that's with a cruise, that's all there is. And that seems like a nightmare.
That would be the tough. Luckily, everyone was extremely nice on this cruise. I mean, some people wanted to get into the nitty gritty of whatever pop culture reference I brought up. So I luckily only bring up things that I actually like because I'm like, oh, no, what if I am stuck holding a slice of pizza talking about St. Vincent with someone? You know what I mean? Like now this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and the food too. It's like, if you just get room service the rest of the cruise, that even you have to, and it's not only to get food. As far as I know, like, it's buffets usually. Yes. So it's like
they seat you with other people.
Yeah. That's part of why I don't like the idea of cruises. Not like any, but besides the water and all that shit, is like. The whole thing has the vibe of, like, when you were a kid and your mom would, like, you go to a birthday party, you didn't know that many people, and your mom would be like, go make friends. And you'd be like, I hate doing that. Like, no.
Yeah, it was, it definitely was that. And then, on top of that, there were maybe, oh, I don't know, and I say this with love, Joco Cruisers who are listening, there were probably about 10 black people on the boat. So I, in my set, I mentioned my sister. So earlier in the first half of the cruise, because I went very early in the cruise, people would see me and my sister and go, oh, that's your sister. And I'm like, yes. And then after a while, she could just go out by herself and they'd go, you're the comedian's sister. So it was like,
you did just curse the other 8 black people. If any of them were women, it's like, they're all getting, comic sister.
They were, one was a backup musician for one of the bands that was playing. And so she definitely was called me because I for sure was called her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of great.
I feel like maybe your sister also got like some of the feel of like being a comic, because I bet people were pitching bits to her too. Like, pass this on. Yeah. She's like, oh, this sucks. Here's just a terrible pun that I thought. A cruise ship, more like a schmooze ship.
Ah, hey, nice.
You gotta talk to all these people. Do they still have shuffleboard on those? Did you get to play some shuffleboard?
They did have the markings of shuffleboard. Nobody played them because there was a room full of board games, and that's where everyone was.
They do. And probably the nerdy ones, too. It probably wasn't like, you know, backgammon. They were probably like, here, sit... We loved you at the show. Would you like to hear an hour of rules? Like,
right.
Complicated. They were German. Doing that. Those kind of things were happening within, like, the room where you ate. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, wow.
In between, when they were switching out food in the buffets, people were set up at different tables. And I was like, oh, there's that one's very extensive. They've been there since breakfast. And
it's like, it's those, like, German strategy board games where you have to, like, it's like... A really fun game where you build a sewer system for a city.
It's like Aufschwinger. Cool. It's like, and everything is like,
I love
weird
infrastructure.
Yeah.
All the pieces are like weirdly hand carved and like doing vaguely the haunted.
What was that, Shelby?
One time only. Yeah.
I feel like that was like an old, he was trying to put something new in it. The robot rebelled.
I remember I visited some friends of mine in Ferndale in
Board
Michigan.
Spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Yeah. Nice.
Stealing a dead man's joke, Shelby. How dare you? Stolen. I went to a bar with them that was like a board game bar. They had all these like weird, you know, those kind of board games and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like a cool bar. They also had axe throwing and all that. You can imagine. But they had a guy.
That's like a really different clientele, I feel like.
Not really.
No, you don't think so?
No.
That's about the same. No. I can see that.
It's like, axe throwing is, because it's like LARPing. It's like.
Yeah, I guess it's like the Ren Faire people.
Very Ren Faire. It's a good. So they had bartenders and stuff, but then they also had this guy that had like a wall of board games. And they also had a guy who was like their like quote unquote game master there. Very nice guy, but we went there and I was looking at what they had, and they had a game called I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the Haunted House on the Hill or something. It's a game that a board game that I like that is one of these complicated board games. So I was like, oh, you have this, and then I got it and we played it. But when I was talking about the game, this guy started talking to me at one point, said like, was talking about people who didn't know all the games, because he was like, oh, you know some of these games, and he was like, he referred to people who didn't know the games as muggles, and I was like, all right, I'm not that level of, like, please, dude. Like, I was like, all right, man, I'm not coming to your not joining your adventuring group, all right? I'm here to play a board game with my friends. I don't know. Sounds like a fun cruise. I was going to say shuffleboard kind of rules. It gets a bad rap, I think, because it was like a go-to joke about old people for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, actually, as I get old, I'm starting to realize, I don't know, just kind of pushing something with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem?
the value of a low impact game.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. New respect for what they call low impact exercise. I'm like, that's for me now. I'm the person
Absolutely.
That's for, because my knees are shattered.
When you're old, like, and you're doing something sort of vaguely social, like, you can't drink as much as you could when you were young. So you need like another thing to do in between like sips of your G&T or whatever, you know?
It definitely adds to the theatrical element of you gossiping.
Yes.
With your friends if you have a stick and you're like, so I told the bitch, and then you push a thing, and then like if it's a whole, you know, production, then yeah, I can see why you would do that.
I'm surprised curling hasn't taken off in Brooklyn, honestly. I'm surprised there's no like,
you know what?
I'm
kind of surprised too that's not a thing.
Seems right.
Maybe it's coming. It might be time.
Yeah. Should we do numbers?
Let's
a guy died on the
numbers.
Impractical Jokers cruise.
Okay, Shelby, really bringing the mood down here.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to him.
Number five.
Number five comes to us from NC Hammer 326 in our Discord. If you would like to submit stories to the podcast, you can join our Patreon at the $10 a month level, patreon.com/whatatimepod. We have a private Discord channel where we take story suggestions for people at that level. Our Discord is also free for everybody else. Like all the other non-private channels are free. It's very fun. Link in the description for that. And the story comes to us from Boston. This is heartwarming. I really feel like I got to bring the mood up after a guy died on the Impractical Jokers cruise.
Yeah, we specifically choose stories where no one died, but we don't choose... what Shelby says about what people Shelby who died.
So yeah, there. This family was coming back from Germany into Logan Airport in Boston with their pet cat Rowdy, who is a very cute 4-year-old black cat. And unfortunately, Rowdy escaped the clutches of. I don't know if they were like in the kennel area or if they were like with the family, but Rowdy got out. Rowdy could not be caged, could not be contained anymore. And for 3 weeks, Rowdy lived in the Logan Airport and was roaming around and like would be spotted occasionally, but could not be caught. Just evaded capture for 3 weeks. And this past Wednesday, Rowdy was finally caught and returned to her owners. So she's safe. She made it. She also somehow survived in the Logan Airport for 3 weeks, which is kind of wild to me.
I bet they were mouse free for 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's what it is. Get some cats in LaGuardia, like a bodega cat sponsored thing.
That would be a really good New York tourism like initiative to get bodega cats into LaGuardia. Mm-hmm. And B, there are always fucking pigeons in there. So you know. Clean
that's
it up.
True.
Apparently, that's why Rowdy got out. Rowdy was chasing some birds. So I guess Logan has.
Isn't that always how someone routes someone named Rowdy?
Yeah, I mean the name is perfect to be honest.
It says it also says that Rowdy was originally named Rousey and then it was changed. So I guess this family
because it
like,
wasn't a fucking word. Is that why?
Because of Ronda Rousey.
It's like fighting. So either way. Yeah.
So it was named after Ronda Rousey, and then they changed it, and they don't say why, but I'm going to assume it's because they believe trans people are real and that 9/11 happened, or whatever, like, her insane... She has, like, she's one of those, like, insane celebrities that believes nonsense. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just funny that they mentioned that the name got changed, but they didn't say why, which is, I don't know, kind of cracks me up. But anyway.
Oh, wow.
Congrats to Rowdy.
Yeah.
This is definitely... I mean, this has to be a blow to your confidence as a pet owner, because you're like you're like, this is my sweet boy, and then it's like, wow, I would rather spend 3 weeks running around an airport than let itself be given back to me.
I mean, we all need a vacation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the best part of any vacation is the airport,
as we all know. Absolutely.
Hanging out in the Swatch store during
Rowdy just loved the Tom Hanks movie The Terminal and really wanted to live her dream.
I'm now thinking of the idea of having cats in LaGuardia for people who get to New York just to get the vibe of the city, because I can't think of a better way to describe like New York City than we're all just a bunch of cats.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, if you could, like, don't mess with us, please. But
yeah,
if you need directions, we'll begrudgingly point our tail in the way. But otherwise, like, leave us alone. Don't, we got a lot to do. We're doing a lot. There's string. I got a piece of string. What are you?
And there
don't
are,
you see me here?
Yeah. And especially LaGuardia, that's like a place I feel like I've seen. What we've discussed on this podcast before is one of my favorite things, which is when a bird gets through a door, when a pigeon walks through a door, like a real, like it's a little person.
Right.
And then it's just sort of in the lobby of somewhere.
Really good. There was a really good tweet that was like, it was something about how like, when people talk about like queering bodies in spaces, they mean when a pigeon is in a building.
I love a pigeon in a Duane Reade just wandering around.
I love a walking pigeon because I'm just like, I mean, you know, you could fly, because I never see, I feel like I've seen a few where they just look really down to like a hard day at work and they're just like, oh, and I gotta go home, and I'm like, you could fly.
Yeah.
You're bringing up a bit of a sore subject for Eli, who one time on the podcast was extremely insistent that pigeons could not fly.
Yeah. To clarify, it was like that they can't really fly. That they're like, you know, I'm not going to dive back into it.
Like,
I'm just saying they're no falcon, okay?
I just remember,
I didn't say they could soar.
Yeah.
I just said,
that's what I should have said.
That is exactly what Eli said.
Where were you when this happened?
Like, no, but you said if you dropped it off a building, it would die.
I kind of still think it might. So,
I mean, pigeons are
if it
emotional.
Wasn't ready, I don't know.
If it wasn't ready. Got to give it a countdown.
Like if someone dropped it off, like if you saw a pigeon like slam into the ground. I
Which
I, don't
I
think,
have.
Yes.
I have.
See, they're not fucking good at it. It's been...
not good at landing. I feel like they could do one or the other. It's the transitional points that maybe they have an issue with.
It's like in the you know, the colloquial phrase like oh, that dog won't hunt. It's like that pigeon won't fly. It's just it's not. We've domesticated them by feeding them popcorn and pizza, and now they're
right. That's the thing is like they don't want to fly because the ground is where all the food is.
Yeah,
right. All that delicious trash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah,
fair
tops point. Of buildings bare, nothing up there unless there's a party, and then it's just they can drink a lot of half-empty White Claws. Yeah, there's also a detail in this story. It's not about the cat, but I am enjoying that. Apparently, these people were returning. This guy had spent 15 years with the army in Germany. And I like the idea of the people being posted in Germany with the army, and their job is just basically to be like, you guys up to anything again? I'm watching you. Don't fucking start shit again. Like another great Norm Macdonald thingy, but the Germany has gone to war with the world twice, and they're still allowed to be a country. But anyways.
The thing that I was thinking about this, because you were saying that you found this story, like it must be insulting as a cat owner that it didn't want to come home. I also find it, because as a cat owner, I feel like this story really reinforces how like we really don't own our cats. Like,
no. Yeah.
I have this idea in my mind that I'm responsible for keeping this thing alive, and I am responsible for it. But if I wasn't around, it'd figure it out. Like it would find a way. It my cat really does not need me the way I assume it does. Like,
oh yeah, my cat and I, it's a business agreement. It's just like, hey, look, little things try to crawl in here, you stop that from happening. And I mean, I'll clean out your little shit box every once in a while and give you some wet stuff.
All cats are just squatters, honestly. Cat should have a little, like, you should dress every cat up like a little crust punk with just like a crass jean jacket, and then it's just like knocking shit over, and it just attracts to me. Just like,
that's the vibe.
If you leave a water bottle on the edge of a table, a crust punk will knock it off.
They always do that.
They just love disorder, just like cats do. A little crust punk cat would be very cute. Because you see a lot of dogs dressed up as crust punks by crust punks who own them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I think the cat would just leave. They don't. That's the problem.
I feel like half the time those dogs are not feeling that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, absolutely,
you
know, not.
You can look in their eyes and you're like, you want a ribbon in your hair.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want any of this.
Right. You didn't ask for this life.
Yeah. I see the longing in your eye. You don't want this at all.
Yeah. Just kind of a, just like a, basically a stray dog with someone near you is like the life of a Crespunk's dog. Yeah. It's not allowed to roam free. But.
Yeah.
Should we do number four?
Yeah, let's do it. Congrats to Rowdy. I'm glad she's back in safe hands. But yeah, and congrats to the Logan Airport, who now probably has to deal with mice again.
Yeah.
Number four.
Number four. This story comes to us from Coneynaut in the Discord. This is the story of a classic tourist blunder. So, you know, tourists, you know, they love to take selfies, just like the damn
sure
millennials,
do.
Just like kids these days, all those sort of things. But, you know, especially good location would be a very, very historical site. Unfortunately, someone that happened, an American tourist was attempting to take a selfie at Mount Vesuvius, the, I believe, active volcano.
Yes.
Is the one that destroyed Pompeii? Is that the right one?
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't
right
have all
one.
My volcanoes lined up in my head. And so,
they weren't like at Pompeii. They were like at the mouth of Mount Vesuvius.
The mouth, yes. The mouth, and it's only a mouth if it's active. That's how they announce when a volcano is no longer active. The mouth has closed. It's very culty.
Yeah.
So they were trying to take a selfie at Mount Vesuvius, and it is a like kind of a very like dramatic version of what you might see in the New York subway sometimes. They dropped their phone into Mount Vesuvius. didn't have a secure grip, forgot their fucking pop socket at home, couldn't hold on to it.
Would you rather drop your phone into the New York subway track or into Mount Vesuvius?
I'm not getting it.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not getting
it. It's gone.
I'll drop it in the sink. It doesn't matter. I'll make another one. I don't care.
Get food on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that in mind, probably Mount Vesuvius, just so people could be like, what happened to your phone? And I'd be like, I dropped it into Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
because then if you drop it on the subway tracks, people will go, well, why didn't you go down and get it? Or what? I mean, I can't use that phone anymore.
Because I don't want to get pancaked by a train.
Even if someone got it for me, I'd be like, this is not usable anymore. It touched the subway tracks.
Yeah.
It's like, it's contaminated.
Yeah.
There is no rice strong enough.
Yeah.
There is no rice strong enough to take all
it has
all that
enough
out.
Rat DNA on it to like technically be a rat. It's
the rats are using it now. They're looking stuff up.
That's true. I'm not getting into a tugging contest with a rat.
The rats are on Google Maps being like, big trash can overflowing. Where? Trying to find a treasure trove. But yeah, so this is the thing. He dropped his phone into Mount Vesuvius, the crater. The mouth, as Kath said, into Mount Vesuvius, and then decided to try to go get his phone. So then he attempted to start climbing down into the mouth of Mount Vesuvius. It's pretty steep.
I'd imagine.
It's also full of a lot of dust, as is Pompeii, loose, and lost his footing, and then slid into the crater of Mount Vesuvius. very, maybe more accurate
He's
than that
fine.
Sound hit his ever.
He's fine.
Only light abrasions. got his phone, but then could not climb out of the crater. So he was on like a shelf or whatever. You know, he was like on an outcropping, if you will, but like not able to get out. Had to be rescued.
I would not let this happen.
But like you said, like the people said, it was like he's very lucky he didn't slide any farther, because if he had slid further, he would have fallen 300 meters into straight up Mount Vesuvius. Like he would have actually,
like the lava part,
like the gods would be pleased. Yes, it would have been a sacrifice.
Oh man!
So
I feel like this really is like it really drives home the first thing I thought about this story when I heard about it, because like he didn't go to Pompeii. He went to the mouth of the volcano. Mm-hmm. That is a tourist activity I'm not remotely interested in.
Yeah.
Do not take me to the mouth of an active volcano.
Well, is it okay to be there? Like,
I think there'd be some seismic activity first. Before.
I mean, like, yeah, I feel like there was like a fence or a sign. It's just like, be careful, you know.
Oh, that's part of it. That's another thing. There is a fence that says, please don't go closer than this to the giant mouth of a volcano. And he was but, you know, gotta get the good shot. Gotta get a shot.
I'm not even going like close enough to see that fence, though, to that volcano. Like, I am staying far away from an active volcano.
Well, then your photos are trash.
Yeah.
If you are not willing to climb into the mouth of a volcano, why are you even on Instagram?
Yeah. I think I would go to Mount Vesuvius. I think I would be more comfortable at Mount Vesuvius than I would be at the Grand Canyon. I am out on the Grand Canyon. Do not want to go.
Oh, yeah? No, I've never been. Have you been and you're just like, I'm not doing that again, or you've never been?
No, I've never been and I don't plan on it.
You just are afraid you're going to fall in?
It's just built for it, isn't it? You know? Just really.
Yeah, that's true.
That is kind of the main thing about it.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's a
chasm. You're not even allowed to like throw stuff in, right? So just like, that seems
like
a real.
You can go down to the bottom. You can ride a donkey down to the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Let me get on the smaller ledges.
I want to see Eli ride a donkey. I feel like that'd be a funny. This man is bigger than a normal man, and this horse is smaller than a normal horse.
My feet would still be touching the ground. I'd be like walking with the donkey, like when you're on a tricycle or something. Yeah, not a fan of that. And then they're like, I don't know why. Because I know that donkeys have a reputation as being like fleet foot or whatever on mountain trails, but it's like they're like such a stupid looking animal. I don't trust them at all.
I don't trust the donkey. Yeah. I don't trust any donkey, first of all, that's like, yeah, I'll take you down there and back. That's like, like a bad mechanic or something. I don't trust them. And then just you down there and like, oh, wait a minute, I gotta go take this call from a phone that I picked up that was dropped down here at the bottom. And now I don't see this donkey anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's
the Grand Canyon is a phone graveyard. That's just the whole bottom of it.
Oh my, that would be the like kind of like dark pleasure it probably would be to just hurl your phone into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
that does seem good.
Yeah, just very satisfying. Dark impulse. Yeah, I mean, I don't like horses, and donkeys are like little horses, so not as bad, but still, they kick. They famously kick. I don't like to be.
I do. I forgot you don't like horses. Yeah. Mm-mm. So there's like a lot of stuff about the Grand Canyon.
Big, strong animals with rocks for feet? No, thank you.
Okay.
Kick me.
You know what thing?
One bit me when I was a kid. No.
Oh, well, there you go. That's it. Yep. A thing I did when we were all like severely locked down. Was watch clips of people cleaning out like the horse's hooves.
Oh yeah, like, I get those. I've seen them too. Yeah, I've watched. Yeah. It doesn't, and all the comments because it looks so. The comments are all people like, this doesn't hurt the horse because it looks.
And I'm like, I don't believe you.
Yeah, they're carving out like everything, and they're like, this is necessary. It's like, I don't know.
Okay,
cutting a lot of the hoof out there.
I mean, like, it just feels, I'm watching it, I'm like, I'm fascinated, but also my fingernails hurt watching this.
Yeah. And they're like, using real nails to hammer the horseshoe, and you're like, there's no way that doesn't hurt, I guess.
Yeah.
I do feel like, though, like, because they, like, really excavate it, and, like, part of me is like, I want this pedicure service. I want you to just, like, sand this shit off of my
feet. Yeah, I got, my pinky toes definitely need that horse work.
Yeah. Hire a farrier to put a tiny horseshoe on your pinky toe?
Yeah.
It feels
I feel like
this
could maybe help some stuff out. Yeah. There's a lot going on down there that
and equestrians, please don't at me, but, like, yeah, it's also a thing because they're always like, oh, because you put the horseshoe on and then they're like, because of the horseshoe, the hoof grows over it and grows too long because it's not being ground down. And it's like, it seems like maybe you should just leave the hooves alone. And then because wild horses aren't, you know, they make it. They're not like,
that's true.
You don't see wild horses with 2 foot long hooves clopping along like those things from fucking Mad Max Fury Road in the swamp. That's the reference
I'm sure
I came
I'm
up
sure
with.
Like protects them from injury or something, but like
Maybe.
Yeah, because we're getting ready to work them in other inhumane ways.
Yeah.
So the least
maybe
we
back
do.
When everything was cobblestones. But yeah. I feel like they'd be fine on asphalt. I don't know. Let me know. I'm probably wrong. I'm wrong all the time. So
there were when I lived in Austin, there were very frequently people riding horses just on the side of city asphalt roads, mm-hmm. which was always
yeah.
very strange.
There was a guy in Atlanta who
I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. Who definitely like in the kind of the northwest part of the city, would just kind of roll through. He was a black dude. And I
same
think
in Austin
was,
it was like all black dudes.
Yeah.
Which I was like, people have a real misconception about who's out here riding horses.
Riding horses, yeah. This guy, he was at one time the DJ for a rapper named is it Jaquan? He's the guy did the Tipsy song.
Tipsy.
Yeah, this guy was his DJ, and something happened, and now he has a couple of horses, and he rides them on Northside Drive past, you know, the Chick-fil-A and the McDonald's and the Burger King.
Yep. I would never
That's
have
a beautiful,
thought.
Like, local eccentric yeah. guy yeah. who was a DJ.
I would have never predicted that through like a 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon type of connection that yeah. a black dude riding a horse in Atlanta was connected to my bar mitzvah, but we've found the connection.
Here we are.
All things. We are all, everything is one. Everything's connected.
Oh, God.
The web of humanity.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I guess he got his cell phone back, but it's definitely not worth it because he is going to get a fine for falling into Mount Vesuvius, which
yeah, I feel like we've sucks. Had a couple stories lately about like Americans being really stupid in Italy.
Ugly
like
Americans.
The guy who
ugly Americans.
Yeah.
Underrated TV show also.
And I was just talking about this last night, like when I was in because I went to Italy last month and like I immediately got sunburned. And then I was just like a fat, sunburned person in Italy. So everyone was like, American, right there. Like it was just, you really yeah. like, you try to be like, you know, seem culturally sensitive and with it and not like an outsider. And then you're just a fat, sunburned person and there's nothing you can do. It doesn't yeah. matter. It doesn't matter.
Mm-mm. No way.
It was, yeah, I did my best. I didn't fall into Mount Vesuvius. So
that's you know, good.
Did better wow. than that guy.
Yeah. You want to do number three?
Let's do number three.
Number three.
Number three, this story comes to us from Iguana Helium Cube in the Discord. This is a real saga. So definitely there's a Vice article about this if you would like to know more information, listeners. It's called A Bored Chinese Housewife Spent Years Falsifying Russian History on Wikipedia. And yeah, man, pretty much sums it up. This woman, she was really ingenious about it, honestly. She was posing as a Russian history scholar, and she updated and created all of these pages about medieval Russian history on Chinese Wikipedia. So, like, she really picked a subject that was not getting, like, a ton of scrutiny. You know what I mean? And she, like, fully made a ton of shit up. Just, like, completely fictional. Like, here's a good example. This was how she was found out. There was an author who was looking up some information for a book he was writing and came across an article about a silver mine in Russia that said, discovered by Russian peasants in 1344, the mine engaged more than 40,000 slaves and freedmen, providing a remarkable source of wealth for the Russian principality of Tver in the 14th and 15th centuries, as well as subsequent regimes. The geological composition of the soil, the structure of the mine, and even the refining process were fleshed out in detail in the entry. So, like, That silver mine's like not real. Like all of that was fake. Apparently her longest article that she wrote was longer than the Great Gatsby.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And she like interlinked all of them together, so like would prove one by the existence of the other. And she would cite like pages of real books, but that like that page didn't exist, or like the information that she put wasn't on that page. Like this huge thing. She created a false identity. Like her user page was like, I'm a scholar of Russian history. I'm a Chinese woman who's married to a Russian guy. Like she made up all this shit And all she was a bored Chinese housewife with a high school education who just had a lot of time on her hands and was very imaginative.
Yeah.
Wow.
206 articles she
just
wrote.
Just a full lore. This is like a level of, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien. She's built a fake Russia. She's invented an entire alternate timeline.
Somebody should have introduced her to D&D or something. Yeah. Like, she could have put this skill to good use.
Just write a sci-fi book. You'd be, I for a second was about to be like, I was like, oh, China has its own Wikipedia. And then I remembered, I was like, oh, they have like their own internet. I forgot that they
I had that same, thought. Just like wait, what? Oh, right. No, they absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there's like a Wikipedia of every language, which is also a problem that we talked about on here once with the guy. There's a Scots Wikipedia, and this like American teenager just made up a bunch of Scots. He basically did like years and years of damage to the Scots language because no one really speaks it, and he put all of these, he translated all of these Wikipedia articles into Scots incorrectly, and now Scots is like permanently compromised because of this dude.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, people are wilding out on Wikipedia. They're going nuts.
Just unchecked, untapped talent. I'm hearing, you know, that's I mean, it sounds like she wrote like, I don't know, three seasons
at least
of something. Definitely enough to get syndicated. Like she
what my high school teachers would refer to as wasted potential.
Yes. Wow.
Phrase that comes up.
I feel like it is like, this is crazy to do this, but I feel like even editing Wikipedia in a normal way is kind of crazy. Like, people who devote a lot of time to that are very impressive to me because, like, I don't know. Have you ever gone to a Wikipedia talk page? I don't know what the fuck is going on there. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just one of those because you see stuff as like notices where people like, this was added by a verified, like, respected Wikipedia contributor. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just, that's people's hobby to
they're keeping knowledge alive, but it's just like, it's,
I feel like every time that I look up something on Wikipedia that I'm pretty sure no one else is looking at, or it doesn't feel like anything that's of the moment or related to the moment. It's just something I'm like, oh, I wonder if, when I scroll to the bottom, it's been updated within a week.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A week prior, and I'm like, why who needed, what were the updates? It's unnecessary.
It's I mean, it's just a different variant of the people who run like a BTS fan page, but they just really love, you know, the history
Dice
of steel
something.
They just love discussing techniques for smelting, something like that.
My favorite piece of Wikipedia misinformation, which I feel like I might have mentioned on the show before because I think about it all the time, is like a decade ago Nick Mullen put the plot of the movie Operation Dumbo Drop in a Wikipedia page about the Vietnam War as if it were real. And it's, I think it might still be there. Like, it was there for so long. You just wrote it in the right, like, tone for that. And so they were just like, okay. And, which is wild because, like, I feel like if there's one topic there are a bajillion weirdos updating Wikipedia about, it's going to be the Vietnam War, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder, but they probably aren't able to capture the tone. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to be all boomers, right?
True.
They're boomers or Gen X people, and so they are not, especially if they're Gen X people, they know how to do it and are certainly sitting around long enough to decide to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the tone has to come from someone younger who's been steeped more in computer culture, and that's probably how Nick got it to click like
they're
that.
They're hitting the middle, you know, kind of the in-between that doesn't work of, like, if it was someone who's, like, older than that, they would just write it like a, like, you know, academic writing. Someone young knows how to write on the internet, but they just, it's just like how boomers text, where it's just, there's like a lot of ellipses and like semicolons and stuff. There's never, it's one long run-on sentence. It's like, what is, I don't know. And I feel like we did our live show and someone did just send us a mailbag question. It was like, do you know how wrong you are all the time? And I explained,
We got a hate mail on our live show from someone in the audience. It was very funny.
And I explained, which I think this, we lost some of the audio, so this explanation may have been lost, that on a podcast, sometimes if there is 1.5 seconds of silence, I will just say whatever I'm thinking.
Such as pigeons cannot fly.
Yes. And so it's called keeping, you know, if you would prefer dead air, I can be more accurate. But here I am mouthing off, as is my right and my responsibility.
Get him out of here.
You gotta keep the ball in the air. That's what this is all about.
And here's a prime example of this. This is just something that followed it. I feel like war nerds, like history war nerds, mm-hmm. Vietnam is not a popular one. I feel like there's way more World War II, World War I.
Like, World War II is like the big one,
yeah.
I think.
And which like is always Civil War. Weird one, too, because it's like, what side are you? Like, what's, you're like,
well,
really?
That, I mean, that's, I feel like the two big ones are World War II and Civil War, and both of them I'm like, what side are you?
Yeah.
Like, this is very important to clarify.
I wonder if that is, if like, socially, I feel like the Vietnam one is the one, because I'm firmly Gen X, and it feels like everything was just like, nom, because it was the recent one. It was the one that just happened like last month or something.
Yeah, maybe, but it's. I think it's
so recent. It doesn't, like, people who are interested in it don't even really fall into like history at this point.
And perhaps
I think. Go ahead.
I was going to say maybe it's not. I don't know. Like, it's not as clear cut.
That's what I was going to say. If I can be more specifically wrong, if you want a shield. I feel like the people who are really into World War I, like Civil War, like they're very like power of the military, mighty, like, and Vietnam is one where it's kind of like not as cool.
Yeah, like I feel like I feel like I would actually want to talk to someone who is interested in the Vietnam War because they might have like an interesting and nuanced view of American foreign policy in a way that like a World War II or Civil War nerd probably does not. It's probably just someone who watches a lot of history channel. Yeah.
Like if someone was like, give me an example of the, you know, might of America as of the United States as a world power, they wouldn't immediately be like, the Vietnam War.
Yeah, that wasn't
a cloudy.
That wasn't a good look for us.
Yeah, a cloudy mess of, you know.
Shelby's sound clips are very loud today, and I kind of feel like we're all just in a bar.
Yeah.
Like, trying to talk over loud music.
We're recording this episode at Rockerola. It's so loud in here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't know. Well, anyway, I mean, shout out to those, you know, indie nerds that are into the Korean War.
Oh,
yeah. That's a real.
Guys.
I'm a big French Indian guy myself.
Yeah.
I like pelt-based war. That's stuff about traitors.
Yeah.
That's like, that is so crazy to me. Like, I was reading a book about St. Louis a while ago, and just like, it really drove home the point that like, America as a world power would not exist if French people were not obsessed with wearing beaver hats for like 10 years. It's fucking wild.
Yeah. It's always fashion with the French.
Mm-hmm. It's what they're all about. They love those beaver hats, man. Yeah, we built our whole economy on it. It's fucking crazy.
It's interesting. Like, I get the, you know, one of the video games I play is like a, you know, gun. It's like a shooter thing. And then it's made by like Russian gun nuts that all the guns are very accurate and historical. And you start to find out that certain countries' guns are just really bad. You're like, wow, this is fucked up. Why did you make this? And then you look it up and they're like, this was the official gun of the French army. And you're like, it doesn't work. Maybe this was the problem. But that's my extent of history knowledge. Even though I've mouthed off quite a bit.
Russian gun game.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Well, yeah, so this just to tie a little ribbon around this story here, the Chinese woman who did this on Wikipedia, she did write an apology letter to everyone, you know, and especially because she was
everyone?
Like...
everyone?
Well,
on
like
Wikipedia?
everyone in the Russian medieval Wikipedia community, because she was like,
so that's probably like 7-8 folks.
Yeah. But it was like a public apology because she was like buddying up with all of these other like Russian medieval history scholars, and then was like outed as just a fake person. And it's like such an obscure subject that they have to get like experts to come correct it all. Like, you can't just trust that to anybody because it's so like specific.
So you got in this
mess.
But
yeah, she literally just said, like, my husband's gone a lot and I'm really bored in my house and I'm really sorry. It just started as like a you know, kind of a fun game hobby, and then it spun out of control and I apologize. So Yeah, I hope she gets involved in a D&D game or something. Like, yeah, she can put this to good use.
The real move is now
for good.
Yeah, she should make her own Wikipedia page. Like, famous liar, me. It was me.
Folks, if you're enjoying this episode, you might want to check out our bonus episode this week on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod. This week, we start off with some classic bonus topics, some comedy show chat, some shop talk,
some state fair foods, and then we get into a strange licensed video game Chex Quest from the past.
So check it out. Chex it out.
It even. Quest. This week. Do number two?
Let's do it.
Number two.
Number two. This one comes to us from Wet Bigfoot in the Discord. This is maybe a little less of a news story and more of a universal experience that I think we can all connect to. I'm interested to hear, Shalewa, if you have any specific things like this. I love that this got to a real publication. This is from The Mirror in the UK.
Well, real publication then, relatively.
I mean, it has a website and it's there's not like a visit counter on it, you know? It's right. Not it's not on GeoCities. I'm not it's not asking me to install Flash Player. It's a, you know. So they covered that this is this unfortunate woman in the UK. She's 23 years old. And she moved into a new apartment, and she's trying to buy furniture. And there's one specific piece of furniture that she cannot seem to find on the internet anywhere. And so she ends up calling her mom, and she's like, what hat? Do they not make these anymore? Or whatever. What she was looking for was a chest of drawers. Mm-hmm. What she was Googling and had thought it was called for 23 years was Chester drawers. As in a man, Mr. Chester Drawers.
Chester Drawers. That's like my drag king name.
Chester Drawers.
Yeah, Chester Drawers. Yeah. And I wear like Joe Boxers with smiley faces on them.
That poor girl. That I feel for her because that's such a hard, like, it's a hard thing to say. Correctly. Yeah. No one ever, I'd love to meet the person who feels like I'm nailing it every time they say chest of drawers.
You really have to over-enunciate. Even I did just now.
Yeah.
Chest like, of drawers.
And it's also something like she could say that 100 times in front of different people and no one's going to be like, hold on.
Yeah.
Don't you mean chest of drawers? Like no one's ever going to do that. I get why this would stick with you for 23 years.
Yeah, and that's what she blames for it as well, which is, I think, reasonable. Is she's like, I don't know what the exact... But she's like, I'm from Bristol. And I guess in that accent, she's like, I don't know what the fuck. My parents have been saying it. It sounds like that.
Girl, and, stop playing with us right now.
I mean, it's also... I will say, even with that, that's one of those things that, like... Even when I was, like, buying furniture for an apartment, that's one of those things where it's got, like, 14 different names. So even then, you're like... Chest of drawers slash bureau
dresser.
Yeah. It's got a million.
I think I'd go with dresser.
Yeah.
Drawer is the part that gets me.
Yeah. Drawer is tough. And there's like a lot of regionalisms for drawer. Like,
true.
I feel like there's a lot of different ways you can go with that word.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I say dresser because... That's probably what my mother said. So if it's like a Southern thing.
Yeah. It feels like it's almost like the type of wood. Like a bureau is like a mahogany or a walnut.
Sure.
Chest of drawers. That's like your IKEA. The dresser is probably IKEA. Chest of drawers.
Yeah, a dresser is definitely one that you picked up off the street.
Yeah.
hey, there's a dresser in the street around the corner.
All of the chest of drawers that have ever been made have already been made. Now they're dressers.
Yeah, who's making anymore?
Only vintage.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's a chest of drawers is like from 30 years ago at most recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're like deep south, you might still be saying shifarobe.
That's a good point.
Shifarobe,
which again, they do not make anymore, and all of them have been busted up.
But you never know, you may find one.
Yeah. It sounds like a exotic strain of cinnamon, like Schiffero.
it's like
a nutty cinnamon kind of. You never had Schiffero?
Yeah, you make like a nice cake out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Charred Schifferobes.
Yeah.
That is a nice word, though. Like, I kind of wish we'd stuck with that.
A Schifferobe tart? Yeah. That sounds good. I'm making myself hungry with made-up foods. This is not
positive.
But yeah, I was trying to think if you have any... And then I was also remembering, because you have the great bit that I think is also the title of your album, which people can check out, about the that dives into vernacular and colloquialisms about Cookie Monster. I'm not going to make you do the bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just love, like, I truly love when people are using language in an interesting way, even if I'm like, oh, I can't say that. I'm too old for that. Or I, you know, but... the joke is basically about, I think they call it African American Vernacular English, and it's just the way that that comes about, and it's kind of an issue now. I see it talked about a lot more online, like on Twitter mm-hmm. and in TikTok, because
of Jack Harlow.
Because of Jack Harlow. Oh my goodness. I'm working on a new bit about Jack Harlow where I'm wrestling with feelings.
Yeah. But, I had a tweet that nobody liked anyways, but I was just like, I remember being like, he's not British. I was like, I thought he was at least British. Like, I was like, A, I thought he was at least British, and B, I thought he was at least British, and I thought that he was just singing hooks. I was like, he's the one rapping. I thought it was like a Calvin Harris situation, and it was not.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's him. Mm-hmm. Just like using slang. A lot of folks who are not black and using the words think it's slang, but it's actually a very deliberate way of speaking that is a bit broader than it seems. And so when someone attempts to talk in that way, like say a brand decides to tweet in a way where they're using the verb be. And it's just like, that is not correct.
Yeah.
But you're just like, oh, I just stick a B anywhere, right? And it's like, no, you don't. It's used in a particular way.
IHOP B pancakes, come this, please.
So it's just, I just love, and also with regards to this young woman, I'm sure she heard it as Chester Dross, but it also made me think of like when you read a lot and you never hear the words.
Yeah.
And then you say it and you're like, is that right? I think that's right. No, yeah. Everyone's staring. Okay, that was wrong. Like that kind of thing.
I feel like doing this podcast, I have that experience quite often.
Yeah.
And then I will be made fun of by Eli and Patty for saying something in a weird way. I remember
Stevie
a recent
Griffin.
One was, well, that's different. One time I called Stewie Griffin Stevie Griffin by accident.
Oh, because you saw a B instead of a double B, I guess.
Ruined my goddamn life.
We all have our words that just...
The most recent one was fondant. You made fun of me for saying that weird. I said fondant, and you were like, what are you talking about?
Well, that is wrong.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I keep... I have to, when I'm talking to someone and I say Atlanta, I make sure to say the last T, even though that is not how it is pronounced in the city.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people are like, you're not from there. And I'm like, yes, I am. And they're like, that's not how it's said. And I'm like, it's Atlanta, but I don't want you thinking I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The T's are merely suggestion, but I'm going to pronounce them so that people living, who are not in the South aren't like,
it's not even,
where are you from?
Oh, yeah.
Living in Austin has, like, ruined a ton of Spanish for me because the way... There are a lot of, like, Spanish... Like, streets with Spanish names, and I lived there for a long time, and the way people in Austin pronounce them is not the way that you would pronounce them if you speak Spanish.
Like LA,
and now
too.
I just pronounce all those words wrong because they're just in my head as, like, the street names. I think people... probably think I'm a moron because they're like, you think it's Guadalupe and not Guadalupe? What the fuck?
Guadalupe.
Well, it's like
that's
LA
what they call
and
it.
Like Los Feliz or whatever. It's, you know.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I had the famous, I still don't really know where I got this, but it was like, I remember I had to like fully change, and it was one of these things where I'd been saying it for the word accept. I've just been saying accept. and like accepted, and that was one I got roasted over.
But, yeah, I think we made fun of you for that. I'm sorry.
We're all even. It all evens out in the end. It's like,
what
when
has
you,
Patty funny. Done? I feel like Patty pronounces stuff right. We got to get his.
He's
ass.
A damn lawyer. He's got to. He can't be in the. He can't be in the courtroom saying.
Accept.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying the exact thing you were saying about like reading it. I've talked before. It's like I had a lot of playing a lot of like fantasy video games when you're younger. You get like really. You get like high vocabulary words, but you don't know how. Mm-hmm. So I have
extremely
one,
specific ones.
Yeah, I said instead of inventory, I said inventory for a long time because I was just like,
okay,
look, there wasn't voice acting on that game, and it's I pressed triangle to open whatever it was. No one told me how it was pronounced. Yeah, or when we were all
kids.
I remember
having a big problem because I read a lot as a kid. But like you come across words that like maybe your reading level is high, but like you have no reason to say any of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I said, but I remember reading hors d'oeuvre for many years before I knew what the fuck that was how to say it, which is like that is a real
up.
Nightmare of a phrase.
Well, kernel is one that a lot of people do wrong. Acai,
is that right?
Never,
Shelby just,
I just
put acai in the
I
chat.
Refuse to order whatever that is because I'm like, I'm gonna forget. Like I try
it's
to remember.
It's an expensive
and then
purple
look,
fruit, I think.
Yeah. I'm like,
well,
I don't
that's,
want
they say it's a brain
it's a super
like
food.
Super fruit. So that's what you gain the power of pronouncing it correctly when you eat mm-hmm. it.
Eat
it. Makes
oh,
you smart
well, they
should
have come up with an easier name. They know we're all idiots out
like
here.
Like purple fruit. That would have been fine.
That would have been great. Mm-hmm. No one's taken that yet.
Or it's
we
like
blueberry. Give us purple fruit.
You're 8 years old playing Oregon Trail, and they're like dysentery, and you're like, okay, I have no idea what this is. I know it can kill you, but Oregon, Oregon is an easy word. Oh, Oregon, Oregon.
Oregon is right Oregon? For Oregon? People who live in Oregon.
Yeah.
They say Oregon.
Shelby has.
Shelby
is
funny.
Shelby is posting in the chat. Roasting
you. I feel like I hear Oregon, I guess, for people referring to the city. But when people are talking about the game, they always say Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon Trail. And I don't know if that's like a country thing.
Yeah. No, that's
I said
Portland, Oregon, I would say Portland, Oregon or Oregon. Yeah. But it's the Oregon Trail to me. I think it's just the drama of it. The covered wagons.
It's a whole thing. I don't know.
Were you on the trail, Shelby? Did you ever ford the river?
Shelby is an ageless being. People don't know.
Yeah.
He's lived forever.
He's out there. He lives off the 500 pounds of buffalo meat that he got from
all that salt pork, those barrels of salt pork.
Yeah. That was always the thing, because they would have the shooting hunting minigame, and you're like a kid, so you couldn't hit anything that was smaller. So everybody, they'd be like traveling, and they'd be like, you have 4,000 pounds of bison meat. And they'd be like, ford the river. And they'd be like, you sank. You have so much fucking buffalo meat in your goddamn wagon. Anyways.
Wasted on your own petard.
Mm-hmm.
Killed by your bison meat.
Yes.
Should we do number one?
Let's do it.
And this week's number one reason to say, what a time to be alive.
Folks, there's been a leak from the White House. I know we don't get political on here very often, but sometimes stuff is too important for us to ignore. And there's been a story that has come out of the White House, reported in the very reliable source for political news, the New York Post. Mm. And turns out President Biden's dog, Major, who was like removed from the White House for biting people. Mm-hmm. It turns out he bit way more people than they said. They've been covering this up. He bit people 8 days in a row.
Look, a full baker's week of biting.
I am pro Major. Look, that house is haunted and that dog knew it.
Yes.
From the start. I've always believed that. I'm always like, yo, Team Major, because he's seen... He's seen some things, and he's like, oh, no, no.
The White House has so many, like, haunted, like, things, like haunted staples that have happened there. Like, it burned down. Somebody died in a bathtub. Those are, like, two big haunting things, I think, to me. You got
and
a haunted bathroom, a fire.
And also, like, if ghosts are real, and you were the president, and you die... you're haunting the White House. Like, that's yeah. like, those are your glory days. Like, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unfinished business just all up and through.
Absolutely.
Like, from the slaves who built it on up. Like, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people just waiting in line
yeah.
to
yeah.
get in there and take care of whatever they need to take care of. And Major was like, why did y'all put me mm-hmm. in this?
All the chickens from the egg roll. They're yeah, all just, those ghosts are yep. there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. come on. I don't blame him. Good for him. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm glad he got out of that. That's such a toxic situation, Major.
It really is.
It was also
glad
like,
he got out of it.
Wasn't it Secret Service people 8 days in a
yeah.
row? God.
Yeah.
Just like day by day, I was texting about this, but it was like day by day. It's like first day, you're like, fuck, I got bit by a Major. The second day you got bit, and you're like, someone control this dog. And then the third day you were like, well, I'm not going to get bit 3 days in a row. And then you do get bit, and you're like, okay, this is like a serious problem. And the fourth day it's like, I assume the dog won't be there today. They're going to have it in some sort of kennel. And then you go, and it's like, oh, it's here. And then it bites you again. I think the fifth day you probably send an email out that's like, hey, I just want to say I don't want to get bit today.
I will not work with this dog.
Yeah.
We right, cannot right. work together. Like, we're having some work problems.
This is your
but
duty.
But at some point, you have to go, maybe it's me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me.
Change your cologne.
I don't think he bit the same person 8 days in a row.
We don't have that information.
I don't think it was just like one person getting fucking ed up
I'm
by
sure
this guy.
I'm sure it was a series of people. Like, yeah. he probably had his favorites. Whoever was the most evil.
Yeah.
right?
Or the most haunted.
Yeah.
Dogs can figure that out.
Yeah.
This is also really funny to me. So the documents relating to this leak were released by the conservative transparency group Judicial Watch, which slammed the cover up of the incidents. So like,
yeah,
just
look
some
for
like
something.
Right-wing people who hate Biden. I just love that they're like, they're looking for some dirt and they get this and they're yeah. so excited. They're like, we got something. His dog is bad. Like,
yeah.
Joe Biden sucks. There's so many things to like be critical of him for. I just love that they're like, here we go. His dog is rowdy.
Yeah. Like, who's Anita Hill? That. Shut up. Run the dog story.
Exactly.
It's like there's no what the ultimate win here is to what get a dog put down. Like, it just doesn't really yeah. work. Like,
yeah.
I also like this because the Judicial Watch, this conservative transparency group, they do kind of like, I think they thought like, well, we don't want this dog to get put down. So they say, we're sure Major is a good dog, but these records show he was involved in many more biting incidents than the Biden White House has publicly acknowledged.
Yeah.
It
I
is
like
disturbing.
Yeah.
It is disturbing to see a White House cover-up of numerous injuries to Secret Service and White House personnel by the Biden's family pet.
That is a shame, but you got to come in there with a fresh dog. You have to taint a fresh dog.
Yeah.
You can't bring in a dog that's seen things.
Yeah.
It's also, yeah.
I mean, it's a German Shepherd. It'll
yeah.
bite. Like,
it'll bite. That's yeah. what it's there for.
I remember even when they first said, they're like, the new White House. Look, I think that, especially coming off of like the administration before, it's like the White House dog for the new one, you should have like a little cockapoo or something. It was like when it came out, it's like he has two huge German Shepherds with military names. I was like, okay, that's a little
yeah, that's not a bit much.
Like really my favorite thing.
Yeah.
It is like, I mean, yeah, if a different president had it, I'd be like, I need to know those dogs' names and I need to know they're not from like World War II history.
They're Operation Paperclip Dogs. They're
yeah.
brought over.
Like, what's going on here? I don't know though. I feel a little bad for Biden though, because it's like, okay, hold on. You didn't tell me that I couldn't hang out with my dogs while I was president. Like, now my dogs get taken away and I have to be president. That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks for him.
This is yeah. also here. Some of the emails they found, I guess, is like they're talking about that were the dogs sent home because of the biting? So the dogs were sent home to like Delaware because they kept biting people. So they did eventually send them away. And then there's another email that says the family will use a trainer they have used previously. I think you need a different trainer because it's
new trainer.
Why would you
yeah.
go back to the one that didn't work where it keeps
yeah.
biting people? Yeah.
You need yeah. You need a medium / trainer is what you need.
This
isn't just like the dog has separation anxiety. This dog is seeing things and seeing the evil in people. You had Major was a special dog.
Also,
he knew the sins of those people.
Also, it says here there wasn't one of them was a visitor to the White House, which I don't know if that's a tourist or what, but that is like actually awful.
that's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I
feel like that is
pumped
up there with how'd you lose your phone? I threw it into Mount Vesuvius with like, oh, what happened to you? Joe Biden's dog bit me when I went to the White House.
I mean, I'd want to be like, part of me would want to push for like a settlement or like some hush money, but then the other part of me would be like, well, I might just end up at a black site, so maybe I don't mention.
Right.
I'm just like, it's cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Imagine just standing there holding your arm up, bleeding, going, it's fine.
No problem.
A good dog. You know.
Yeah. And then the blood.
Going, wow, he doesn't normally do this. It's only been since January.
And then the blood attracts the ghosts again. They sense the suffering.
It's a vicious cycle.
Mm. It's a real mess. But yeah, so I guess, so one of them, Champ has now passed on. That was the other one.
Damn, Champ was older than Major?
Bye-bye.
I believe so.
and then Major came through and was just like, nah, I'm biting everybody. Everybody getting bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
maybe
have another one? Isn't there one that's like there now?
I think there's one that is not biting people.
Okay.
I think Major's back. I don't know if Major's back.
No,
I think Major might still be gone.
Yeah, Major don't want to go back. Major stops at the door and just sticks himself like, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
The other story about his dogs that I always think is very funny, that like, again, is one of the like few times where I've like felt that Biden was a human being, was when he fell because he took a shower and then was like running around after his dogs and he broke his foot. It's like,
yeah, that's in here.
Just nude 80-year-old Biden, like fucking frolicking around.
Yeah, it's mentioned in here. It says about him fractured foot. The then president-elect said that he tugged the dog's tail after a shower. That's so fucked up and weird.
It's so weird.
Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, man. I have a feeling there are a lot of just little things that Biden does that he's just like, we all do that, right? And someone's like, no.
You know, you get out of the shower and you tug your dog's tail.
No.
Yeah,
like,
man,
it wouldn't hurt anyone, but it's also like, who thinks to do that? Yeah.
I usually secure my dick and balls before I agitate an animal.
Yeah.
Do you, I guess.
So yeah, I guess it's just Major. He has a Wikipedia page.
Good for him.
Can we trust it?
Yeah.
Someone's
who's writing it?
So his the contents of his Wikipedia page, the topics are number one, incidents.
Okay.
This is very good. Number two, political activities. Number three, departure from the White House. So that's
that makes it sound like he was biting one for incidents. Two,
of course,
he was like throwing rallies.
They just copy pasted the headings from Nixon's Wikipedia page and then just made it dog based. Incidents, political activity, exit from the White House.
He had to be kicked out because of his political activity. That he
apparently
wasn't towing the party line.
Yeah.
Apparently he got in hot water because Biden's granddaughter posted a video on Twitter of Champ and Major fighting over a Donald Trump dog chew toy.
Oh, that's funny.
People got really mad about it.
Oh, shut up.
And so that's number one on his political activities. He's a controversial figure. Mm-hmm.
Well,
man.
He is a very handsome dog, I will say. I'm glad he is out of his haunted home and hopefully is somewhere that has been exorcised and is free of spirits.
If you're going into a house that has pillars, it's haunted.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
I'm about to send you guys a picture of him looking out a window that absolutely makes it seem like he is seeing beyond.
He does seem happy about it, though. He's got a big smile.
He's receiving a message, I think.
Yeah.
In that.
Or whatever that. Remember that? There's some scientific thing came out that they were like, it looks like dogs are smiling, but they're never smiling. That's what their mouths are shaped like. And I was like, shut up.
I know.
Fucking asshole.
Give us this, please. Yeah. Let us have this.
Let us have this.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a man. That scientist is someone you do not want at a party. Mm. Just like, so what do you do? Well, I tell everyone that dogs aren't actually smiling.
That's just I end dreams and burst bubbles is what I do. Yeah.
I'll tell you this, as a past dog walker, here maybe part of the problem, that choke chain is sized wrong. They don't know what they're doing over there.
Oh, shit. Oh,
there you hurting go. The animal.
Eli's got some notes for you, Joe Biden.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something else. If you're somebody who thinks that prong collars are like, you know, like animal abuse or whatever, be a dog walker. Try to walk a fucking like 100-pound low to the ground thing. Like, you want prong collars.
You need
you're
a
gonna
prong
be
collar,
on it.
They're not bad for dogs. If you get them sized right
size them
and
right.
they're used right, they're not bad for
tip,
dogs.
If anybody has one, you think making them loose is better for the dog. It's not. It needs to be tight on their neck. If it's loose, that's when it like cuts into
you can
them.
Cut them.
Yeah. But I would walk some dogs that were like, there was one that was basically like the body of a Doberman, but with tiny little legs. And it was the center of gravity on that thing was like, it's like walking a black hole. It was unbelievable.
That, Tim Fowl, if any of you follow Krulge on Twitter, he has this little dog named Ume, who is so cute and looks like a little, he looks like a Moomin to me. He has like these big, big eyes and he's like this little black furry guy. But he's sort of the same, like he doesn't look, he looks small and he's like very low to the ground. But I used to walk him and like strongest dog I have ever. If you don't want to move him, he will not move.
Oh, yeah.
Like it is impossible to move him. It is, I think it's a center of gravity thing. It's like, they're just a little rock.
You just get
you can't
dragged from chicken bone to chicken bone on the Brooklyn sidewalk.
Yeah, man.
That's the whole thing.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, we covered the news for this week.
Yeah, plugs time?
Plugs time.
Let's do plugs.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Everybody!
Wow.
Yep. That's our take on
warn people about that.
That's our take on famous uncle nephew band's hit Shots. That song about doing shots with your uncle?
Yeah. One of the best of the songs about doing shots with your uncle, I think. One of the best ones. Shalewa, what do you have to plug?
Oh, well, you know, like you mentioned, I have my solo show called Don't Reach in the Bag, and it's about the 6+ years that I worked at a porn store at the turn of the century. And so there's that. And then I, you know, like I have a couple of albums that I think are still on Spotify. And if you, for some reason, have a password to Peacock, there's a show on it called Bust Down. And I'm in an episode of that. And that's about it, really. Otherwise, I'm frantically trying to tell jokes around New York City.
Hell yeah.
And they are, I just checked, they are on Spotify. Stay Eating Cookies and So You Just Out Here, both available on Spotify now.
Yeah. Oh, and all my social media is at Silky Jumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Silky Jumbo.
All one word, Shalewa. Traditional spelling.
Yeah. Give the What a Time bump.
Yeah, give Shalewa the What a Time bump. The famous What a Time bump that was vociferously rejected by former guest Bobby Condon, who was like, why are all these people following me? I hate them. thank you for listening, everybody. Shalewa, thank you for joining us. You can find more What a Time to Be Alive on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatatimepod. We do a bonus episode every week. We do monthly live streams for our patrons. We just did a wonderful live show that next time we do one, if you're a patron, you'll get a discount on a ticket. We have a bunch of bonus features. We're eating the death nut and dying on camera if you want to watch that. Eli showcases some of his art in one of the streams we have up there.
Art so. From when I was 13 years old. So
yeah.
Not the good stuff.
Not the good stuff. Yeah, so check that out, patreon.com/whatatimepod. We are on Twitter at whatatimepod, whatatimepod on Instagram, all that good stuff. Another Patreon bonus you get is you get free shipping at our store, which is whatatimepod.bigcartel.com. We have a bunch of t-shirts, mugs, really cool hats, a lot of good stuff on there, so check that out. I'm at Kath Barbadoro on everything. Oh, I'm going to be in Austin July 27th through the end of the month. I'm going to be at the Velveeta Room that weekend. I think I'm doing a show at Buzzmill East on that Wednesday, the 27th. So check me out there.
And you can find me this week, tomorrow, or today, if you're listening to this Monday, which is going to be... Look, if it's Monday today, the 18th, I've been doing a two-shot. This is the second episode of a Twitch D&D show with some super funny comics called Better Than Heroes. So that will be at, I believe, 10 EST. And you can see that. That'll be the second one of those. I did one the last week if you want to catch up. And check that out. That's on Twitch and Twitter. Just search Better Than Heroes. And I think that is it for me.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.